us need Jesus in our lives.
Huh?
Amen. How many of you have Jesus in your heart? How many of you are born again? I see very good many of your hands. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to come into a relationship with Jesus. As the several young brethren came forth, they were testifying of their relationship with God. Do you know that just because you're born again does not guarantee that you have a close relationship with God? Isn't that true? You can come and you can receive Christ in your heart by faith. But it's another thing to intimately know God. Can we say amen to that? When I first met my wife, we began a relationship. But we really did not know one another until we spent time together. Amen. Amen. If I come and I meet Brother Martin, praise the Lord, Brother Martin. He's my brother in the Lord. Because he is born again and I am born again. But we did not really know one another until we conversed together, until we worked together. We spent time together.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, you can come and you can accept Christ in your heart by faith. But if you don't spend time with Jesus, if you don't develop that relationship, Jesus will say, I don't really know you.
Huh?
It's like a marriage relationship. How many of you here are married? Raise your hand. All right. Does your marriage relationship work if you don't talk to your spouse?
Huh?
You have to have communication. You have to open your heart up one to another. And if one of those two parties don't do it, you're in trouble.
Amen.
And do you know that when you are married, it does take work to work together? Isn't that true with you?
Huh?
Say you ladies don't show any love to your husband. And you're not friendly with him. How do you think he'll feel about you?
Huh?
Huh? It's important. Same way with husbands. If the husbands don't pay attention to their wives, how close do you think they will have a relationship together? It's the same way with God.
Hallelujah.
We're going to start out with John chapter 15. And starting in, we can start up in verse 9. And we're going to read from 9 to 14. John chapter 15, 9 through 14. How many of you have your Bibles here? Raise your hand. All right, raise up your Bibles. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible is your friend. It's the Word of God. It says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it's important for us to read the Word of God. All right, chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, this is Jesus speaking, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. Verse 9, Alan.
Sama sa paghigugma kanako sa mahan, ako sa ingon na higugman kaninyo, babilin ka mo diha sa akong gugma.
If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Kung tumano ninyo ang akong mga sugo, pagpapilin kamo sa akong gugma, maingon nga gituman ko ang mga sugo sa akong amahan, o nagpapilin ako diha sa iyang gugma.
These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Kining mga butanga gisulti ko kaninyo, aron ang akong kalipay magapabilin diya kaninyo, o ang inyong kalipay mamahimpit.
How many of us want the joy of the Lord? How many of us want the joy of the Lord? The Word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, the next three verses. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Kining mga butanga gisulti ko kaninyo aron na akong kalipay magpabili na kaninyo inyong okay chapter 12 mao kini ang akong sugo na kinahanglan maghigugmay kamo ang usa og usa sama sa akong paghigugma kaninyo.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Wala bisan kinsa nga may gugma nga labaw pa niini na ang usa ka tawo maghahanat siyang kinabuhi sa pagpakamatay.
And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Amen. How many of us want to be friends with Jesus? I do. I want to be a friend of Jesus, and I want him to be a friend of me. So now he says, in order for us to be friends, we need to do whatsoever he commands us. And then he also says that he commands us to love one another even as he loved us. Okay, look around. Everybody, look at your neighbors. I'm looking at Edmar. Brother Edmar's looking at me. Look around. Look around. Look behind you. God is commanding us to love one another.
Huh?
Do you think we can do a better job of that?
Huh?
Or is it easy to love everybody? Huh? Is it easy to love everybody?
No.
Some people are hard to love, aren't they? Yet Jesus says we are to love one another. Now I can tell you a little something. I find that in my own strength, I can't love everybody. But when I give my heart to Jesus, when I tell Jesus I want to do whatever He asked me to do, and then when He asked me to love everyone, I have to say, Jesus, help me. Right? Huh? Jesus, help me. Give me your nature. Give me your character. Give me the ability to have agape love. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You and I were not born with agape love. Do you know what agape love is? Agape is a Greek word, and it means God's love. God's love. The Bible says that God so agape the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that all that would believe on His name would not perish but have everlasting life. So in the Bible, there are three types of love. Agape, which is God's love. There is also what you call phileo love, which is brotherly love. Parents, you love your children, right? Isn't that true? Raise your hand if you love your children. Okay. Children, do you love your parents? Yeah, raise your hands. Okay. Very good. That is what you call filial love. Or you could say family love. And the third type of love in the Bible is called Eros love. And that is what you call a lustful. It's really a sinful type of love. It's lust. It's not really love. So we must understand something today, that God's love is different than our own love as man. It is only when we become born again and we first experience the first time in our lives what godly love is. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that means that when we were born again, we didn't go knocking at God's door and say, "Oh, I want to love you." Because the Bible says it's not us that came first to God, but first God drew us to Him. In other words, God's love sought each one of us out at some time in our lives. And He's not stopping there. He is continually, every waking moment, seeking out to give God's love to whoever will open their hearts up to them. So when we became born again, that's when God's love or agape love first came into us. Hallelujah. And now God's love touches us. Do you know how He touched us when we became born again? Think of God's love when He sent His Son, who made the heavens and the earth. He sent Him to earth and made Him in a fashion like you and I. And Jesus walked in obedience to the Father all the way to the foot of the cross, where He hung and died for you and me. And the whole purpose of His dying on the cross was to give us resurrection life. When He was scourged on His back, when He was smitten and beaten, when they laid a crown of thorns upon His head and smashed it down, bleeding all over, and then He carried that cross to Mount Calvary. Stumbling, falling, getting up again, stumbling again, getting up again. And they took Him to the foot of the cross and they nailed Him to the cross. Big nails going into His hands and into His feet. And as He was up there on the cross, it was God's love that spoke. And He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Why did He die on the cross? It was to shed the blood that was in His body for all humanity who would believe. So it was God's agape love that was shed for you and I. For when we came to Christ as a sinner, and we were convicted of our sins, and we called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we said, "Jesus, forgive my sins. Come into my life. I want to commit my life to serving You." When we did that act, when in our heart we connected with heaven and heaven connected with us, Jesus gave you and I something very special. It was His agape love by giving us His blood. Because Jesus' blood is not like our blood. He had heavenly blood. He had the blood in His body which could forgive all sins of mankind. That's when we said, "Jesus, forgive us of our sins." His blood was like an eraser on a chalkboard. And it washed us. It washed us of all all of our sins. Hallelujah. That means His blood was God's love to you and I. Hallelujah. So that's just the beginning of our life when we commit our lives to God. We're born again. We receive the forgiveness of sins. God wants to do something now that is like a new baby that starts to grow. You could say our born again experience is like being a newborn baby. As newborn babes, we need to feed and we need to grow. That's why God says we can become children of God. But we can grow into an adult or a mature person in God. Hallelujah. I want to share something with you. It's so simple, but you know, many Christians really don't find this little secret. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit you become servant to obey. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness.
Hallelujah.
So we need to submit to God. Or you could say we need to obey God. Or let me say it one more step. We need to commit our lives to God. Hallelujah. Just because you're born again doesn't guarantee you always to have a ticket to heaven. God has given me the right as a free will agent. I choose what I'm going to submit myself to each day. If I submit myself to God, I'm going to reap a blessing. If I submit myself to the devil, or I could even say my own mind, do you know your own mind is an enemy to God? Did you know that? The Bible in Romans 8 says that the carnal mind is an enmity, or it's called an enemy to God. Being human does not make us divine. In fact, continuing to stay in a human way of thinking, I end up being an enemy to God. And I could say another step. You see this out here? Everything out here, it's called the world, right?
Huh?
Who has the power over this earth right now? Who's the prince that rules this earth, this world? It's the devil. Huh? You walk down the street, the devil has control over people. And the Bible tells us that if we're going to be friends with this world, we become an enemy to God.
Ang Biblia, klaro na kay Surya, sa matapos ka na ito, ang amigo, kinikay mo, tanan kita, may mong kaaway sa Diyos.
Anybody want to be an enemy to God? Raise your hands if you want to be an enemy to God. Okay, look around everybody. You see any hands raised? I don't see a single hand raised. Well, that's good. Hallelujah. I certainly don't want to be an enemy to God. But I got a problem. And maybe you have the same problem. It's the same problem that the Apostle Paul had in Romans chapter 6, 7. Paul says, why do I do the things I don't want to do?
Huh?
Anybody else have that problem? That you want to do good and you find out you have a hard time doing good? Alright, let's just give an example. Have any of you ever gotten angry in your life? Am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one who's ever... Oh, you gotten angry in your life? Anybody else have gotten angry in your life? Have you ever gotten angry? Well, raise your hands. If you've gotten angry, raise your hands. If you've gotten mad or angry, all right. Okay. All right. Did you want to get angry? No. Huh? No, you don't want to get angry, do you? So you find that Paul found that there was a... he talked about it. He said he saw something warring in his body that was not good. And it's called the nature of sin. Huh? The nature of sin. And just because we are born again does not mean that we are exempt from falling into sin. For Paul said, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And the things I want to do, I don't do. How many of you said, I want to read my Bible for an hour today and then you don't do it?
Huh?
Or how many of you say, well, I'm going to get down on my knees and pray for an hour and you don't do it? You want to do it, but you don't do it. It's the sin nature working in our lives. It wants to rule over us. But do you know who is it that's supposed to rule over us? Jesus is. Amen. Now there's a way out. I should say a way of escape. How many of us want to escape sin? Evil? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, Paul found out, you know, and I encourage you to read the Word of God. Every Christian should read the book of Romans, especially chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. Now, Paul found that this physical flesh, or I should say the flesh, the nature of flesh is a sinful nature. He found out the only way is to kill this old man. Or crucifying the old man with its affections and its lust.
Ginala ilang sangkin daan na pagkatao na bungkus kayo di as kaulat.
How many of you are water baptized? That means immersion. Not baby baptized, but you were immersed in water. How many of you here? Raise your hands high. I want to see it. Okay, not that many. Okay, brethren, we need to teach them about what water baptism is. Because water baptism is your next step in God. But in order to be water baptized, you must understand the meaning of water baptism. And what the meaning of water baptism is, that you're making a covenant with God and God is making a covenant with you. When Jesus came into my life, forgave my sins, cleansed me by His blood, it's a covenant we're making with God. So when I was born again, and now I've been touched by God, and I just wanted God. I wanted to know more about Him. But then I read in the Word of God, I not only needed to be born again to see the kingdom of God, but I needed to be born again of water and of spirit to enter into God's kingdom. Hallelujah. So, in the life of a believer, after salvation, the next step is for you to commit or make covenant with God that you're going to go all the way with God. Hallelujah. So a covenant is like a contract between two individuals. So if water baptism, my part of my contract with God is that I'm going to say, God, I want to go all the way with you. I don't want to serve sin anymore. So I'm going to this old man, this way I used to live, this man of sin. I am going to crucify it by going into the water and burying the old man. Hallelujah. Now God's covenant or God's part of the contract God says, if you're willing, George, to go into that water and bury the old man, when you come up out of that water, you're no more going to come out that old sinful nature. You're going to come out in newness of life, resurrection life. Hallelujah. So the water is representative of a grave. So any Christian who has been born again and wants to go on with God needs to be water baptized. Hallelujah. Because you need the water baptism to declare to the world and to the devil you're no longer his. You're no longer the devil's, but you're God's. Hallelujah. And as you rise up out of that water, you're going to walk in newness of life by faith. Hallelujah. But that's not all. God knows not only do you not only need that covenant and that commitment, but you also need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to overcome the power of the devil. It's what we call, when we give tabernacle teachings, it's the plan of God for you to progress on in maturity in God. So first he comes and he gives you life through his blood by the forgiveness of sins. Then you make such a commitment with God that you're going to be water baptized, because you are no longer going to serve the devil nor the world in sin. And God accepts your desire or your covenant you're making with God. And as you open yourself up to God and ask for the Holy Spirit, He will give you His Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God is to be given to those who ask of God of His Holy Spirit to make you holy.
Hallelujah.
You and I in ourselves cannot make ourselves holy. We need the aid of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So, when we go back and we look at these scriptures, in order to be called a friend of God, we must come into a relationship with God. And it doesn't matter whether you're old or young. I have seen children as young as 3 and 4 years of age accept Christ in their lives. I've seen children as young as 6 years old understand what it means to be water baptized and to be baptized by water. You don't have to be an older person to have a relationship with Jesus. You can have a relationship with Jesus, young man. In fact, Jesus said, unless we adults come to the Lord as children, we're not fit, we won't be fit for the kingdom of God. The key to our relationship with God also is to humble ourselves before God. Humble ourselves before God. It says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now I want to share something with you out of Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse
3.
It says, commit your works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Hallelujah. Does everybody here have a mind? Do you have a mind, young lady? Yes? Do you have a mind, Merlinda? All right, so we have our mind consists of our thoughts, right, Alan? Do you have complete control over your mind? Or does the devil come and bring you evil thoughts or desires? A famous preacher once said, what if there was a billboard like this? And all your thoughts were put up in this billboard. Would you like everybody to see your thoughts? Would you like everybody to see your thoughts, Josiah? No? How about you, Merlinda? Would you want everybody to see your thoughts? How about you? Medlin, would you like everybody to see your thoughts? Oh, no. Oh, no, God, please. Why? Because there's a battle going on in our mind. Hallelujah. I think if every one of our thoughts, if everyone saw everyone's thoughts, we'd all be ashamed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But God wants us to have holy thoughts. God wants us to have pure thoughts. In fact, the word says that only the pure in heart shall see God. And your thoughts are part of your heart.
Hallelujah.
So we need to ask God to give us power to reject those evil thoughts.
Amen.
Now it says here in Proverbs that if we commit our works to God, then our thoughts will be established. Our thoughts can be sound and pleasing to God. But we must commit our lives or commit our works unto God. And that commitment or that word commit means like laying things down before the throne of God. You put it all into His hands. God, I give you my life. I give you all that I do, God. God, I want my thoughts to be stayed upon Thee. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah, it says that God will keep us in perfect peace. How many of us want perfect peace? The scripture says that God will keep us in perfect peace as our mind is stayed upon Him. Because we are trusting in Him.
Hallelujah.
There's another scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Hallelujah.
There's a battle going on for our souls. There's a battle going on for our minds. But do you know what? The devil doesn't have to have the victory. Evil does not have to rule over us. For the the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word saved means delivered.
Huh?
Hallelujah. That means we can call upon the Lord now. We can call upon the Lord tonight. You can call upon the Lord anytime you're in trouble. Anytime you are afraid. Anytime when you fall into sin, cry out, God, deliver me. Hallelujah. Because God's plan and purpose is to make us to be like Him.
Huh?
To make us to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. And the more we commit our lives to Him, and He knows all of our hearts, when we say, God, I commit myself, and we mean it, His life and His angels rush in to help us. Hallelujah. So in order for us to attain to what we call this close relationship with Jesus, is that we have a responsibility to open our hearts up to Him. Hallelujah. We need to do it on a personal relationship with God. We need to make God Lord in our households. We need to teach our children to love God. And you'll find out that the more you get your mind thinking on God, the less you will find that you're giving strength to the devil. Or let me put it this way. In Revelation, it says that God says, I stand at the door and knock. God's knocking at the door of our hearts. If we open up the door to God, God says that Jesus and the Father will come into you. Will feed or sup with you and be in you. Hallelujah. Just remember this. When you open the door up for God, you're automatically closing the door to the devil. But when you turn and you begin to open up the door to the devil, you're closing the door to God. Hallelujah. Remember that in the battle. The devil comes and he'll say, oh no, no, I'm going to always be here to fight you. I have the victory. But the devil is a liar. Come on, can we say it? The devil is a liar. Can we say it? The devil is a liar. You have to have the tenacity to fight the devil. To fight evil. To fight temptation. Go in your home and say, devil, get out of my home. And I guarantee you, when you say it with all faith in your heart, Not only you speak it, but angels come in and push out all the devils.
Hallelujah.
It starts in your own mind. Get the devil out of there. Get temptation. When the devil comes to tempt you, resist the devil. In fact, the Bible says that you're to resist the devil and the devil must flee from you. Hallelujah. That's why Paul relates the Christian walk as a man putting on armor to fight in the evil day.
Hallelujah.
I want to share with you one more scripture verse. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. And verse 19. It says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. Huh? How many of you have tribulation in your life? Okay. So let me ask the question. It says here that wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. How many of you face tribulation in your life as Christians? Trouble. Problems. Huh? Almost everyone here does. Alright. Hallelujah. That means that we're suffering through problems. So it says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
Usa sila nga nag-anto sumala sa pagbuot sa Dios, kinahanglan magabuhat o maayo o mapiyal sa ilang mga kalag nato sa usa ka magbuhat na kasaligan.
God uses tribulation and suffering to bring perfection to us.
Ang Dios gituhutan niya ang makasakitan mo sa kinabuhi aron kita mahimong mahimpit.
All these things in life are designed to make us, if we submit to God, to bring the nature of Christ through us. Hallelujah. So Peter says we need to commit our soul unto God. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, your desires, and your will. Or you could say your total being, or the being of your soul, is the totality of who and what you are. So we need to commit our being unto God, who is able to keep us through all problems, all circumstances. Thing that happened, God says, I will keep you through the storms. Hallelujah. Because He loves you. And He wants you to overcome. He wants you to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. So, brethren, in closing, I encourage you, put your trust in the living God. Love Him with all your heart. Get to know Him. Read the Word of God. Talk to Him in prayer. And when I say prayer, it's just like I'm talking to my brother or to my sister. God does not want set prayers. He wants you to talk to him just in the way you would talk to your neighbor. But God's not your neighbor. He's so much more than your neighbor. He's the God of all the universe. He made you. He knows your beginning. He knows your today, and He knows your end. So put your trust in God. Call upon Him. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for your children. Have faith in God for your husbands and for your spouses. Have faith in God to provide and to take care of you because He loves you. In Jesus' name.